So if you are of God, what should come out of you? The love of God should come out of you. You should be able to love your neighbors. You should be able to love your enemies. You should be able to love those who don't love you, who are unloving, right? Because that's the love of God that's in us. But if you are of the devil, what comes out of you? Jealousy and hate and selfishness and all the things that are against God and His Word.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark delivered his sermon this morning titled, The Love of God in Us, and he preached from 1 John chapter 3. And now, Brother Mark.
And Jesus is the light, and we had that not too many Sundays ago in 1 John, and we're going to be in 1 John again, chapter 3. But we know that Jesus is the light, and when the light comes in you, it overcomes the darkness, and you have the power to overcome any evil, any darkness that is within you. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3, and we was in there last week, and we talked about the love of God. And if you remember that text, God has lavished His love upon us, and God's love is overwhelming. It's the higher than you can see. It's higher than the heavens. It's greater than you can imagine. It's unconditional. It's eternal. It's all them things that we talked about last week. Well, today we're going to talk about what happens when you get that love in you. And we're going to see in our text as we unpack this that it does a lot of things in us. And so if you would stand with me as we read out of God's Word, we're going to begin in verse 4. And it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or knows Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was wicked, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has entered eternal life or has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to also lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And He gave us the commandment. And now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And this we know, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let us pray. Father God, hide me behind the cross. Let people see you. Let them hear your words. And Lord, let your words do the work that they always do. Lord, we lay ourselves before you. We allow your Spirit to move in this place in a mighty way in our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you work in a mighty way there. In all these things we pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we talked about that love of God, and we unpacked it, and God is the definition of love, and we learned that God's love is unconditional and unchanging and eternal. And this week, we're going to look at how God's love manifests itself in every believer. So how do we show that we love God? How do we show God that we love Him? That's the first point. And in verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And we know that sin is against God. And you may sin against others, but that sin is against others and God. God is included in every sin, and God is the remedy for every sin. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin, and who sins has neither seen nor know Him. So the way we love God is reflected in our behavior towards God and in our walk. And Jesus died for our sins, and He came into our heart, and He forgave us of our sins. And he forgave that great sin debt, and He made us right with God, joint heirs to the kingdom of God. So why would we go on practicing sin? And that's what John is saying here. He says, once you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to live that old sinful life anymore. You want to live a life that's righteous before God. You want to do what is right. You want to do what the Word of God tells you to do. So why would we live a sinful life? Why would we despise God and the redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross to take away our sin and our shame? Once we've been set free, we should live in the freedom of our salvation. Amen? Once we've been pulled out of the muck and mire, why would we go into the quagmire again? Little children, in verse 7, he says, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, or for this purpose is why Jesus came. It says He came that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. That don't mean that believers don't sin. It means that our desire, the desire of our heart, is to not sin. It's what we think, it's how we believe, it's the way we act. Do we sin? Yes, we do. We sin at times because we fail to hit the mark. And the mark is the Word of God. And we continue to fail because we live in this old body, this old, broken, sinful body. And that sinful nature is still there, even though we have the light that overcomes the darkness in us. And that light helps us to not sin as much as our old walk. Amen? Because Jesus is living in us. Notice we don't continue in our sinful ways, but we honor God in the works on the cross. When God sanctified His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our redemption and our Savior by not practicing sin. You see how that would honor God and honor Jesus' work on the cross and His death, and what the great price that was paid for our redemption, that if we are saved, if Jesus lives in us, we want to do what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. We want to be obedient to Him. Notice the word practice. We practice righteousness. Well, can you think of any other thing out there that people practice? People practice law, right? Well, the intent or the desire of the heart of the lawyer should be to free you from the law, right? So he practices law in order to free you from the law or to bring about justice. How about medicine? People practice medicine. Well, the desire of the doctor is to heal you of whatever bothers you or to help you recover from whatever is bothering you. That is the desire. Do the doctors always heal you? No, we're all terminal. Doctors can't always heal us, right? We're going to pass one day. But they try to heal us, and it's their heart's desire to heal us. We are practicing righteousness. And we practice righteousness because it's our heart's desire to live a righteous life before God and before everybody around us. We want to live without sin. Amen? That is the desire of every believer. The scripture says that Jesus was made in the likeness of man, manifested to help us live godly lives and defeat Satan. When God sent Jesus from heaven to live among us, Emmanuel, which means God with us, love came down. Love came down from God the Father, who is love. He is the definition of love. And whoever has accepted Jesus and received the Holy Spirit in their heart does not continue to live in their old sinful ways, but they have a change of heart, and their heart desires righteousness, to be right with God. And we know that when we are right with God, that God hears our prayers, that God blesses us, that God sets our path, He orders our steps, He gives us the way to go, and everything works according to His will. And we know what that's like, because when you're walking with God in righteousness, you have that feeling, you have that knowledge inside of you that you are good, right? And you are only good because of what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. And so we honor that. Jesus said, in verse 10 it says, in this children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. It says it comes out of them. So if you are of God, what should come out of you? The love of God should come out of you. You should be able to love your neighbors. You should be able to love your enemies. You should be able to love those who don't love you, who are unloving, right? Because that's the love of God that's in us. But if you are of the devil, what comes out of you? Jealousy and hate and selfishness and all the things that are against God and His Word. Jesus said, out of our heart comes all the issues of life. He said that in Matthew 15, 16, and 20. He says, these are some red letters for you. He said, do you still not understand? Do you not realize that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? So he's saying, what you eat, it goes into your stomach and then it's processed and gone. But he says, what comes out of your mouth comes from the heart. And these are the things that defile a man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, thievery, false testimony, and slander. And these are the things that defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile him. So what he's talking about is what's in our heart that comes out of our mouth is what defiles us. And it's also what tells people who we are. So if what comes out of our mouth is edifying and loving and helps people to see the truth, that would be because God is in our heart. If what comes out of our mouth is jealousy and anger and hatred and all kinds of evil things that come out of our mouth, then that is Satan that is leading us. And so he says, you can tell by the way people act who's on the inside. It's manifested on the outside. Manifested means to be made known or to be lived out. Love is what separates believers from unbelievers. If you love God, you practice righteousness. And if you love the devil, you practice unrighteousness. Secondly, if you love God, you love others. If you love God, you love others. As a believer, you will love others with a love that desires to see them saved, snatched out of the fire, and so that they do not spend eternity in death and hell. And that is why we have church. That's why we have missions. That's why we have Vacation Bible School and Celebrate Recovery. That's why we have Singspirations. That's why we have Trick or Treat. That's why we have Fish Fries. That's why we have Hay Rides, and on and on and on, right? So that we might be able to tell somebody about the love of God, that they might find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they may have their eternity changed from death and hell to eternal life with God forever. And that is love. There is love in the truth of God's Word. That's why we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. We love enough to share the truth. Verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who killed his brother, but and his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death, and whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So we are commanded to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
That is our command. That is what we are supposed to do. Not like Cain, who killed his brother because of jealousy, because his brother brought a better offering than he did. Now, don't worry about what the world thinks of about you when you love others, because we know the world tells us that we will be hated, we'll be called deplorables, we'll be called hypocrites, we'll be beaten, we'll be brought before courts and slandered against, and all these things will happen because God's word said they will happen to us, and they treated Jesus the same way, and he said, if they treated me like this, they will treat you in the same way, and we see that happening all over our land today. And we know that it's true because the love of God is a love that people don't understand. They don't understand how you can love people that are unloving. They don't understand how you can love your enemies. They don't understand how you can help people in a loving, godly way. And so they are jealous about that. They hate that. They don't like to see that in people. And so they come against us. And we know that they will do that. The Word of God said so. And so by this you know your Heavenly Father sees what you're doing, and He will reward you, and He will be your high tower. He will be your shelter in the storm, and He will defeat your enemies, and He will deliver you. So you don't have to worry about what the world can do to you, because Jesus is always with you. You know you're saved when you have this love for others that's unnatural, that's uncommon among people. You see people differently because you know who they could be in the Lord. And I think that's why Jesus said, love your enemies, because if you loved your enemies and they found the love of God through that, they wouldn't be your enemies anymore, right? They would love God like you love God, and they would love others. So this love is the litmus test. It's the test of the heart. By this, it says in verse 16, we know love. And we know that God is the definition of love, so we could just replace the word love with God there, and we could say, by this, we know God. Because He laid down His life for us that we might lay down our lives for our brethren, for other people. How do you know that God lives in you? Because you have His unconditional, unexplainable, overwhelming, eternal love coming out of you. And by that you know that the love of God is in you. Whoever has this world's goods in verse 17 and sees a brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And we found that last week that God is love, and love is a verb. Love is action. And we see here in this verse that we don't just love in word or by tongue, but we do it by deed. We have action that goes with our love. And here we see that love is this verb, and its hands and its feet, and its love in action. Verse 19, it says, and by this we know we're of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have this confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because He keeps His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us a commandment. Now he who keeps His commandment abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Did you notice all the no's in there? By this you know. By this you know, by keeping his commandments, you know that he abides in you because the Spirit is in you. And you can know that you know that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to doubt that. Now, in the first part of this passage of Scripture, it says, and by this love that lives in us spills out, and we know that God lives in us, and we know that we are of God and that God lives in us. And sometimes we have this voice in our heart that tells us that we should not love others. Sometimes there's this voice in our heart that tells us that we should grab all we can get while we can get it, right? Sometimes there's this voice in our heart that condemns us, just like he was saying in that passage of Scripture. But know this, as a believer, Satan is not going to leave you alone if you're trying to love your neighbor as yourself. He's going to tell you your neighbor has all kinds of faults and you should not love him. But God says love your neighbor anyway. And so we have this war going on inside of our heart, the old nature and our godly nature, our new nature, who we are. And we war against the Spirit all the time. And the Spirit should win, right? Because light overcomes the darkness. And we should end up loving our neighbor. So Satan is not going to leave you alone. Satan is not going to let you have the peace of knowing that you know that the love of God is in you and you are in him. He's going to tell you that. How do you know that? He's going to make you doubt your salvation. And if he can get you to doubt your salvation, he can disable you in the kingdom work. Do you see that? If you don't know if you're saved from day to day, can you be of any godly good in kingdom work? No, you're going to be worried about your salvation every day. But John is telling us, you and I as believers can know that we're saved. How do we know? Because this love that is in us is not common to any man. It's not common in the world. It's not natural to love people the way God loves people. And when you have the love of God in you, you start bringing people to church. You start sharing the gospel in the street and at the workplace. You start loving people who are in need by action, by giving them what they need. And you do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, Satan is the prince of this world, right? He's the prince of this world. And that's why we see the world going the way it's going, because Satan's in charge of this world. But we're not of this world, right? We are not of this world, and we know that the love of God is greater than the hate in this world. Because greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. And so we know that we have overcome the world because Jesus overcame the world when he came down, died on the cross, and kicked Satan in the teeth. He overcame death, and there is no sting in death any longer because death for the believer is graduation to heaven. And we will be with God eternally forever. And we have this confidence of the love of God that is in us, and we are able to do the impossible because God gives us the desires of our heart. So how do I know that? Well, it said so in that scripture we just read, right? It says that when we do God's commandments and we pray and ask God for the things that we need, God blesses us and he gives us what we need in order to do his will. Now, sometimes we ask for things from God that's outside of his will and we don't get them, right? And sometimes we ask for things that we think should be in the will of God, but God has another plan, right? But we know that God is a giver of all good things because the Bible says all good things come down from the Father and light of lights in whom there is no shadow of turning. And so that we know God is good. All the time, God is good. We have this confidence of the love of God that's in us, and we're able to do the impossible because God gives us the desires of our heart. And when we're right with God, the love is manifesting itself in and through us. And we pray to God in line with his word, in agreement with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, and God grants our request. In conclusion, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us the commandment. In 24, and now he who keeps his commandment abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, the Spirit whom he has given us. How do you know? Because the Spirit lives in you. And the Spirit loves God. And the Spirit loves others. So we have this ability within us to love others and love God like nobody else who like other people who don't believe in God. So here we see this the same directive that Jesus gave them Pharisees. Is what's the greatest commandments? Love God and love one another. Right? The two commandments that you can hang all the other laws on. And in this text that we just unpacked, we found that the love of God, that we love God, how? By keeping His Word. And when we are obedient to God's Word, we are showing God that we love Him. And so if we have the love of God in us, you cannot help but allow that love to spill out and get all those people around you wet. Yeah, it just comes out of you and it splashes on them. And then they say, what was that? And so you're ready in season and out of season to tell them the gospel message. You got on the gospel shoes, right? And so you are ready. They will know that we are Christians by our love. That's how they know. Christmas is upon us. And I can't think of a better gift than allowing the love of God to love someone that God places in your path in the next few weeks. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your love, your unconditional, overwhelming, reckless love. Lord, a love that the world does not know, but only those who know you have the love that you have. And Lord, that love causes us to overflow. And as we overflow, Lord, people see that you are in us. And then they ask us the question. And Lord, may we be ready in season and out of season to tell them the reason why we act the way we do. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't quench the Spirit. But Lord, I pray we would build a bonfire into the love that is within us, that it might grow and flourish and spill out. In order that this Christmas we might be able to love others in a way that they will find you. In order as they find you, Lord, help us to bring them in and help us disciple them. And Lord, give us the strength, give us the courage to step out. Give us the head knowledge to know that we don't have to doubt our salvation, but we can move ahead within your will. And follow you and know, Lord, that you are going to do mighty works. And so, Lord, we just praise you. We give you glory. We thank you for all that you do. Because, Lord, we know without you things are impossible, but through you all things are possible. And we thank you for answering our prayers and hearing us. And, Lord, we look forward to how that work is going to take place. The work of healing, the work of strengthening, the work of deliverance from circumstances, the work of your salvation in this community. And so, Lord, we ask that you use us, your church, your people, that we might love others with a love that's overwhelming, that they might see you in us. In Jesus' name I pray, and the church said,
amen.
Amen. We're going to be singing page
61.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.